Stop, stop, stop. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I do the live ones too.
Yes, I know. I saw your act in the theater. You're really quite good.
Quite a certain harmful habit.
Stop it now. I'm leaving.
Hello and welcome back. We are breaking up with RBS. This is episode number 39, and I am Tawny Santabria.
And I am JDK Winnikin. We are both back again to debunk the junk, of which there, whether it's in piles or in pieces, doesn't serve us.
Crumbles, or if it's mushy.
Mushy, yeah. Big chunks.
Yeah, all of it.
A spread.
Yeah, it can look, yeah, it can be a lot of different.
A lot of different things.
Consistencies,
you think
I guess.
Think we were hungry using all those different examples.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe. Who knows?
Welcome back. So what's new? I'm not asking you how you are. What's new?
What's new? What is new? That's a tough one, too.
Well.
I don't know if I have anything, like, new, although I'm, you know, a week older. So.
That's new.
Didn't celebrate a birthday yet, but it's coming up as the weeks get. You know, go on.
Right.
So it'll be coming up here.
Yeah, it got me thinking about, you know, we ask those standard questions before, like, how's your week? And it's the same thing. How's your day? Or how are you doing? You know, so trying to find a different lead in. So anyway.
My yellow lab chewed up one of my favorite shoes. That was new. It happened yesterday. So I'm still grieving. But we're okay.
Yeah, the sad part about that is one shoe gets ruined. It kind of ruins the second shoe.
And what do you do with the second shoe? You know what I did? I put the second shoe in my closet. I couldn't get rid of the shoe.
You need to hold on a little longer.
I don't know what I'm going to do now. Yes.
You're processing.
Yes, yes. When the time is right, I will do something with the shoe. I'm just not ready yet.
Not ready yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, well, I share your sadness.
So
for your
hard
shoe.
To know.
It is hard to know. All right. So, what would you like to talk about this week?
What do we want to talk about this week? Yeah.
Maybe that's a better question to ask. What's been top of mind, like, you know, for something to talk about? What's been percolating up for you? Anything?
I know that last week we talked a lot about labels and how we use language around labels and things like that. And you know, one of the things that's popped up this week, I actually wrote about it in one of my newsletters that I send out, is about sort of that defense mechanism or a coping mechanism that we all have had some experience with, and that is...
Can I guess?
Yes.
Denial.
Yes, you read it.
That wasn't even a guess. Yes, I did read it. I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that was top of mind. And rather than get into why, obviously things were percolating up that were doing that. So what about it? What about denial?
I think that's one of the most common defense mechanisms that we use, right? And it happens quite a bit. We don't even realize it's happening.
Mm.
It's like we're all sort of wanting to move away from discomfort. We're wanting to, however that whatever that looks like for us. And there's lots of different ways to do that, but you know, everybody wants to feel better, so
or not feel bad. Like avoid it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Avoid it.
Yes.
And denial usually is like, that's a shortcut, right? It's not a.
Yeah. I like to think about it a little bit, sort of like it could incorporate avoidance, right? It can incorporate even like all or nothing thinking.
Yeah.
It can incorporate sort of how we just like try to escape from our life. You know, we're tired. And so we... You know, escape with, I don't know, video games or escape with sort of something that's going to, you know, fill a time period.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of TV at night.
Yes. That could be that also. Yeah. Just sort of like not wanting to look in the places that there might feel like there's some discomfort or struggle.
Yeah. And wanting to get away from it or ignore it or...
Or just want not even wanting to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe because it's painful. Maybe because it seems and feels hard. Maybe because, but when we do that, we're not really dealing with the wholeness of ourselves.
And we're not connecting. We're not accepting reality.
Completely.
Right.
Yeah.
And if this show is about anything, right, the reason why we want to debunk those BS stories is that those aren't reality and... we can handle reality better than we tend to think.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be afraid of it a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked before on the show, like wanting to not hear a hard truth from somebody, like you can get really afraid that, you know, if you hear this hard truth from him, it's really going to hurt. And it may not feel great, but you can actually live with it when you hear it a lot of times,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's momentary, but it's a fear response, right? Denial. It's or a lack of comfort with discomfort, as
yeah,
we also talk about a lot.
Absolutely. It's yeah. really about moving away from what's uncomfortable. So certainly it can incorporate a fear response. It can also be a stress response.
Mm.
We might not even realize or even connect with that we're afraid of something. We just may not even want to deal with something.
Right.
Because it feels too hard. Or yeah. where would we start?
Yeah.
Or kind of like the labels we talked about last week where, well, I'm just not that kind of a person.
Yeah. I'm not patient.
I'm not good at that.
I'm not good at that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a patient person.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great
yeah.
Example of denial.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like patience isn't just a thing that you're born with.
It's not a condition.
Not.
It's like your hair color. Right.
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 It's a cultivated sort of practice.
It is. And whatever you're feeling in the moment is that momentary feeling. Right. Because you're angry in the moment doesn't necessarily mean that you are an angry person.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And somebody who's angry a lot may not be angry all the time.
And anger is a normal human feeling.
Yeah.
So we don't have to make anything wrong with that. But when we've made a lot of things wrong with us,
mm-hmm.
then that is a great sort of fertile land and soil for yeah. denying.
Yeah. And, you know, it always reminds me of what you've said many times, you know, our ability to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, meaning being able to sit with it and not make it a problem, saying like, I need to run away from this. I need to fix this, kind of comes back to that. And the idea that if you can sit with that and accept that, it won't stay forever. And it might give us some better insights as to what's actually happening for ourselves.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Like the better we get at just looking within and seeing what's there
mm-hmm.
and getting curious,
mm-hmm.
the easier life becomes.
Yeah.
When we keep trying to kind of like dodge mm-hmm. and weave
yeah.
from ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? That's really stressful. Keeps us up at night.
It does.
It keeps us eating lots of candy or whatever else.
Whatever that is. Yeah.
yeah.
I want to say that's not always bad. I want to defend candy, but I'm not going to defend candy because I know what you're talking about.
Well, a little bit of candy here or there is probably just fine. Yeah.
You know, and when you mention it, you know, coming in really interesting places, I mean, I'm sure we can think of the big examples of denial, right? I think we tend to go, I'm just going to pretend that's not happening, right? Like mm-hmm. like sitcoms do all the time or TV shows. They give us really amped up versions of something for the sake of bringing everybody in and, you know, mm-hmm. telling a good joke or having a resolution. But it's oftentimes way more subtle than that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think of, you don't mind me telling a personal story that you've helped me through before. When I was having challenges sleeping, you know, that was last year sometime. And my denial around that was I was staying up too late. And as a result, not getting enough sleep not enough sleep overnight, not being at my best the next day. And if I remember correctly, when I brought that to you, there was some denial in there about some things. There was lack of knowledge on some things. Like I didn't understand fully the damage I was doing to myself by not getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That was new information. The more I learned about that, the more I went, oh, wow, it's just as important as diet,
yeah.
as exercise, maybe more. That had value, that knowledge. But I was in denial about some stuff in there. Do you remember that?
Yes,
Feel free to tattle on me if you want. I think does that seem like an instructive example?
Well, it's a great example, right? Because you had convinced yourself that getting up or feeling tired the next day wasn't getting in the way of you performing mm-hmm. at your best,
mm-hmm.
that you could just sleep in a little bit longer and still get up and get moving and get as much done. You thought you had just kind of shifted
yeah.
the hours
right.
of the day.
Right.
But then you decided to change your sleeping habit. And what happened?
Well, I realized a few things. First of all, the denial piece was what I was denying was not just that I needed sleep, that physical part, more knowledge of that helped that part. But I was denying the fact that I was not feeling really empowered in my day. And so I was holding on staying up late at night because I wanted to pull something for myself. There's a term for that. Is it called revenge sleeping? Is that what
something like that? Yes.
Like you're going to get revenge on the day. You're not going to follow the rules at the end of the day and go to bed at a decent hour, you know, and do the, you know, it's like the little kid wanting to stay up. And I was in denial that I still was holding on to some of that old defiance on some level, but I wasn't feeling really empowered in my day. But the reality was by not getting enough sleep, I was doing it to myself. I wasn't as empowered in my day to get things done that I wanted to do, to have the energy to do those things, because I was too tired.
Yes.
And so I had to stop being in denial about that and go, yeah, okay, you know, if I want to feel more empowered in my day, I need to be replenishing at night.
Yes, yes. And that makes me think about, like, not that, I don't know if this happened for you, but I think it happens for other folks when we're not, when we are tired, right? And we're not feeling empowered. Who and what do we blame?
Anything but ourselves.
Exactly. Right? So we're not feeling empowered.
It's my job. Mm-hmm. My job doesn't satisfy me, right? Or I don't feel appreciated at work. That was not my case. But those are the types of things that I've heard from other people. I have too many things, or there's too much going on. Mm-hmm. Right? I have too many responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, even just saying it that way makes it sound like they've been given to us. You know,
right.
You know, or yeah, it's all externals.
Right.
It's not right here.
Mm-hmm. And that is often what happens when we're in denial, is we're doing a lot of blaming and criticizing and looking externally to the responsibilities of people outside of ourselves.
And can we also flip it and use those internal labels too and go, well, it's because I'm not a productive person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just lazy. Mm-hmm. I'm misunderstood, right? Because we can do it that way too, right? We can find labels for ourselves to say we're not capable of something. Even something as basic as I'm a night owl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use that one all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a night owl.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm choosing to be a night owl.
Right.
You know, nobody says that. Mm-hmm. They says, I'm a night owl. Oh, no, I'm a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
When really the truth is, I'm choosing to be a night owl, or I'm choosing to be a morning person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the choice piece is so important, right?
It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. As you do this work, you start recognizing, oh, boy, I'm choosing.
Oh, it's coming back. Uh-huh. I have some kind of responsibility and maybe some accountability in this.
Yeah, or some accountability is needed, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, oftentimes what that accountability looks like is, besides admitting it to myself, I got to, you know, I got to tell somebody else about it. And then it's always helpful, right? Because people check in. And of course, after that, to kind of finish the sleep story, you know, I really committed for that next month to be getting at least 7 hours of sleep. I ended up getting over 7.5 hours of sleep, which was way beyond. And when I did the math, I was only getting about 6 max. When I did the math of what an extra hour and a half of sleep over 30 days meant, and then over 12 months meant, it was jaw-dropping how much I had been depriving myself of that. It wasn't my schedule, like that was some separate thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, it all had everything to do with how I was framing things, all the BS stories.
You know? Yeah. And you wouldn't be experiencing now a more restful state if you hadn't been willing to take a look at the sleep piece.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
And so that's the other part, is when we're in denial, we're often not even willing to take a look at a possibility that we might actually have control over.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And so what do you think? If someone has been listening to this episode all the way through, you can maybe make the assumption that they might be more open to taking a look at, Are they not one of those people?
I don't know. Who knows?
Yes, we don't know.
Who knows, right? Like, I'm not going to make any guesses.
It's my way of encouraging listeners to think about it. Maybe it's not sleep, but, you know, there are things that we all have denial about.
We are all in denial about different things
at different
times
in
our life. And just like all the other coping and defense mechanisms that we've talked about, they get started way back when in childhood, because the reality is, we don't know reality in childhood. We don't have say. We don't have resources. We are not in charge. So we adapt and adjust, and we just figure out ways to be able to survive childhood. Mm-hmm. So we'll maybe not take a look at certain aspects of our life at different ages and stages, or we will grab onto whatever labels have been given to us, and we will embrace those,
mm-hmm.
not look elsewhere, because part of it is we don't know to even do that as a kid.
Sure.
Right. But the things that we do around this protect us as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we might be like questioning everything or, right? Or, you know, in the midst of all the discomfort that we're not really able to handle at kid.
Right. There's presumptions there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're not fully matured, right, as a kid. So, so some things just aren't going to be manageable enough for us to be around and us be able to navigate our own stress response as a child.
Right.
So we have to protect ourselves. This becomes a protective action or a protective mechanism for us, right? And then just like all the other coping mechanisms that we have created or learned as a kid, in adulthood, they disconnect us. They're no longer useful. We don't need to be protected in the way that we did as kids. So we want to start to let those go. So everyone who's listening right now
has them. Has them.
A place in their life.
Yeah, where they're still holding on to those old childhood mechanisms. And in a lot of ways, you can say a basic thread of life is experiencing those enough to the point that you see them, recognize that they don't serve you anymore, and then how would you put it? Moving through them, moving past them, putting them away.
Well, getting curious, understanding.
Yeah.
Thanking them for being here at times that they were needed, but recognizing that they're no longer needed at this stage of life.
Yeah.
And we can gently, compassionately sort of let those go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't have to burn them down. We don't have to throw them into the book.
I don't know. I guess if it really works to burn it down, because maybe it could. But one of the things we're lacking oftentimes is real, true compassion.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. And so when we go at force against some of these parts of ourselves, it doesn't actually tend to be as helpful.
Yeah, we think it'll make us feel better, but it usually doesn't.
But it doesn't, because it's not, it doesn't necessarily take the stress response to a calm and still place in the body. So to where we might feel like we, even though we burned it down, there's another little speck we need to get.
Right. It's not out yet. Well, and that's the thing, is that because you can open the door to those bullshits that we talk about. Oh, I should have seen this earlier, or I should never have let it do this, or this was with me too long. I lost too much. All this wasted time. Those are also BS stories in response to healthy realizations or recognition that you want to let something go.
Yeah. So if we start practicing beating ourselves up, or continue practicing beating ourselves up, even around what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Then we get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about is getting to a place of no longer beating ourselves up.
Yes.
And being in reality at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And being able to hold ourselves accountable without beating ourselves up.
Yes.
And one of the things that with presence-based practice like this is you start recognizing things in the body. We talk about body knowledge a lot. So with that in mind, like, how do we, how can the body tell us that we may be in denial about something? How can we, because our brains, if we rely too much on our brains, that's where the denial is probably really getting justified, is in our heads, those stories.
So this is I have a great example for you. I was just talking to somebody earlier today about this. Denial is in your head. Denial is not in your body.
Okay.
So when there's an internal conflict between body, you're starting to, starting to check in with my body a little bit. Okay, I've never done this before, but I'm starting to check in here. Okay, so now I'm like checking in to see how's my body feel, as opposed to staying in the head constantly. Because most of us are used to being up there 97, 98, 99% of the time, right? Okay, so now I'm going to start practicing being in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I'm noticing like what creates a sense of calm in my body. Right. So then we're going to have an experience of, okay, we got up, we started work, we got onto our emails, we're looking at all the things we need to tackle today, we're getting all the things done, okay, we get the things done, okay, there must be something else. Well, wait a second. I think I probably need to eat some breakfast. Right, like the body is...
That body check-in right there.
The body is saying, hello, there's nothing else you need to do. Like, you got all the things done that you need to get done, like, in this moment. How about me?
Yeah.
How about body?
You need sustenance.
Denial would be, I know there's something else here that I need to get done. I'll eat in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So denial's not in the body. The body was clear.
Okay.
Right? But the head
okay.
talked the body, or didn't even talk the body, basically just dismissed it.
Right.
Like, you can wait another couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that experience just a little while ago before the show, you know, when we met up. I was really jittery.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really jittery. I felt off. And that was in my body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I noticed it. And certainly my brain asked the question, what is that about? And it became really clear really quickly. You haven't had enough food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you haven't had enough food. I had a working lunch earlier. I didn't eat as much. So I rectified that.
Yeah.
And of course, that takes care of it. It didn't have to be, I need to get this done.
Sure.
Isn't it amazing what we will deny our bodies even when it's telling us? That's a great example.
Yeah. And that's the part of, if we're not tuning into our body, because here's the problem, is we've been conditioned to be up in our head again, you know, 98% of the time. So if we're not listening to our body, certainly this is an easy one to see when we talk about, you know, the need for nourishment, or we talk about the need for sleep. Like, those mm-hmm. are like, okay, those are definitely body physical needs.
Yeah, exercise.
Right.
Yeah.
But the more subtle ones where we're looking at, you know, emotional states or sort of like intuition around and connecting with our senses, right, through the body. Those are a little trickier because we don't tend to spend a whole lot of time there getting information from our body.
Mm-hmm.
So we can start with, if we're denying the body sleep, if we're denying the body nutrition,
yes,
if we're denying the body movement, because, you know, this work that I'm doing is so much more important.
Yes, I don't have time to go to the gym.
Yeah, that's a great place to start paying attention
to. And my experience with that has been that then leads into those more tricky, more an ability to discern in those trickier things that you mentioned, emotional states. When I'm better rested, it is it's a smoother process for me mm-hmm. to have that intuition around something, or to be able to recognize when a BS story is there, or to, you know, if I'm having an emotion about something, to not make it a problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, and let it be there, you know. The better I'm taking care of my body, it makes me more attuned to those little trickier things.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, in some ways, that's a great, you know, that's a great basic set of basic things to be taking a look at.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, remember, the stress response, the nervous system is connected to our body.
Uh-huh. Right.
Whether we want to believe we have one or not.
Exactly.
We do. And just not having enough sleep is going to put the stress response on overdrive.
It does.
The cortisol in the body is going to drip.
Yep.
The body is not going to work as efficiently as we'd like it.
Right.
We're going to be more stressed. We're going to be more apt to be stuck in the cycle of the BS stories.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that can be, like you said, there's a lot that can be sort of like not a problem if we're just getting enough sleep, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it to me that was such a revelation. All that as that triangle of those physical needs, right? A quality diet, enough sleep, mm-hmm. movement.
Yeah.
You know, don't necessarily need to be call it exercise, but movement. That could be getting outdoors. That could be walking. That could be going to the gym. Whatever. Once that became a more regular part of my habit structure, all those other things became clearer. That's the only way I can put it, mm-hmm. right? And I became more open to that and better able to hold that discomfort when it would come.
Yeah.
And then being able to better see that BS there. It is such an important part. It's amazing what we deny our bodies.
Yeah.
In the name of getting something done.
Or solving a problem.
Mm-hmm. Or, whatever it is. Wow.
Or making a problem.
Making, yeah. Well, and that's the other side of it. If I was depleted, it was going to be a lot easier for me to spin out into a story and make something a problem, or react poorly to something somebody said, or a frustration, something not going the way I wanted to at work, becoming much bigger than it would have otherwise.
Right. You talked about patience at the very beginning of this, didn't you? Say
yes,
something
I did.
About patience.
I did.
Like, it without good enough good sleep, quality sleep, without enough good food. I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, too rigid around that, but it's really difficult to be patient with life circumstances.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you're depleted on any of those things. Yeah. Yeah. It's, so I heard somebody recently say, you know, our body is not just this meat suit, you know, that moves things around. It's, I mean, we're fascinated by it, right? You know, we, you know, it does so many things and we're discovering so many more things about it that you wouldn't think it would be this big leap to say it's an important part of our information process. But for so many of us, it was me included, it felt like a really big leap to go, wait, it's not a meat suit for my brain?
Yeah.
And that's the fun part of all this is as you learn that so many more things become possible and things that used to be really crazy stressful, in my experience, become less and less. And that has opened up my capacity for better things so much more than I ever thought it could. Certainly better than my brain ever took me to by itself.
And your nervous system appreciates you more so now.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm sure of it. I don't know for sure, but
it's patting me on the back. Yeah.
Very proud of you.
That's good. Well, hopefully this was helpful, everybody, for you. I mean, just a good chance to take a look at how you're treating your body on those basic things and then experiencing those if you make some positive changes. So thanks so much for joining us. If you've been listening live, thanks for doing that and starting your day. If you've been listening as a podcast, thank you so much for doing it, for subscribing and leaving a review. We appreciate it. You can check out our Facebook group at Breaking Up With RBS. You can email us at booobsthepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to chat with you about it. And we'll have more things coming. Tawny has her 6-week self-mastery course going, and we got some other stuff coming along the way.
Yep.
So, all right. So then until next time, I am JDK Winnikin, and sitting across from me is...
I am Tawny Santa Maria.
And we will see you next time sitting in the same spot.
Probably.
Thanks, everybody.
I don't think he felt anything after the crash.